The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
He's a Hall of Famer, an Atlanta legend, and again this season, he's only on one station.
And there it is, career strikeout number 1,000.
Struck him out. Seven strikeouts through five. Hasn't allowed the Indians a hit.
And that's 300 wins for Tom Glavin.
It's the Tom Glavin Show, presented by Brown & Company Jewelers on Holcomb Bridge Road in Roswell and Peachtree Road in Buckhead, and by attorney Ken Nugent. One call, that's all.
He is the Hall of Famer, Tom Glavin, joining us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line.
Who is this?
It's Tom Glavin. It's a Hall of Famer. I think, Domino, you're very familiar with his work. Tom, you got Cellini and Domino and Chuck Oliver this afternoon. I know that you've faced a lot of formidable foes over the course of your career, but this may top the cake.
I mean, two guys in the afternoon wasn't enough. We had to bring in three this week, no?
Well, I ask you, Tom Glavin, is the bullpen back, yes or no?
Well, I will say yes sometimes. You know, I mean, look, it's that's part of the dynamic I've been talking about, really, is you've got some guys out there that are young, had good years last year, that the Braves, as I've said, have decided, you know, and not signing Melanson, and then after, you know, initially not signing Shane Green, that, you know, these are our guys. And based on what they did last year, they wanted to give them a shot, and they rightly so. They earned it. They had a good year last year. Now, you know, there's always that, okay, well, you know, was last year the anomaly? What are they? It was a shortened season, right? So you have all these question marks, but at the end of the day, they're all talented. They're all trying to find their way a little bit. And I think that, as is the case with most baseball seasons, we're kind of at the time now where you're really starting to find out who teams are. And I think the bullpen is kind of, they're starting to find their identity a little bit.
You know this better than anybody else. Momentum, what does it really mean? You saw what the bullpen did or didn't do on Friday, and they bounce back and they do so much better, to say the least. Now, some would say there's no place to go but up, but what they did on Saturday and Sunday tells you that momentum is only as good as what happens the next day with your pitching.
Well, you're right. I mean, look, that's the old cliche in baseball, right? Momentum's your next day starting pitcher. But, look, I think that's an easy way out when people say, well, you know, they were so bad on Friday night, there was only one place to go when it was up. Well, that's not necessarily true. They could have stunk again for the next 2 days. So, you know, they didn't. And I think you have to look at that. And, you know, look, that's one of the things I think you have to look at and feel good about that bullpen, in the sense that, yeah, they had a crappy night Friday night, but they got thrown right back into the mix over the rest of the weekend, and they did their job, and they come away with a big 2-out-of-3 series against a really good ball club. So I think all those things are positives. I think anytime you can beat a team like the Dodgers in a series, it's a momentum builder. So all those things are positive. Now, you know, the Braves have struggled a little bit this year, obviously, getting on a roll. They seem to be a team that, you know, when they win three in a row or four in a row, they turn around and they lose three or four in a row. So, you know, they're at a stretch in the season again now where I think all of us would like to see them get on that extended good streak. And I'm not saying they got to go out and win 10 games in a row or 12 games in a row, but let's go out and win 12 out of 15. Let's go out and win 10 out of 12 and kind of get this thing rolling in the direction I think everybody thinks they're capable of doing.
Shane Green, what does he add? And then also talk about when pitchers say, I need to know my role, or I wasn't comfortable with my role, whatever it is. You know, to the fan, a lot of times I want to say, your role, here's the ball, go pitch, that's your role. That's not really how it works. Talk about why.
No, I'll tell you, it's funny because you're absolutely right as far as what your role is. That was one of my favorite stories as a young player. We had a reliever go in and ask Bobby Cox what his role was. And he essentially said just that, with a few expletives in there, that your role is, when I pick up the phone and tell you to get up, you get up and you pitch. Now, that's easier said than done. I think we've seen in baseball much more specialization. You have your closer, you have your setup guy. You know, I would argue even today's game, maybe you have your two or three setup guys to bridge the gap to get you to your closer. But it's not as easy as just saying, hey, dude, here's the ball. This is your role now. We've all seen it with a closer or say, a setup guy in the eighth inning, and the closer gets hurt. And all of a sudden it's, well, let's just make the setup guy the closer. What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is those last three outs are the hardest outs of the game to get. And conversely, the three outs before that are much harder than the three outs in the sixth inning. So there is something to be said for all that. And I know maybe the average fan doesn't understand that, but it's a different dynamic. And I think you have to – it's not as easy as plugging guys in. You have to get them out there. You have to give them the opportunity. They have to get comfortable. But I think in Shane Green's case, what he does is – you know, we always talk offensively about this team and when guys are rolling, how deep the lineup is and how lengthy it is and how hard it is for the opposing pitchers to hunt outs. There's just nobody to go to. Well, the same is true for a bullpen. When you get another arm in there like Shane Green, it makes that bullpen deeper. And if we learned anything with the Braves bullpen last year is if they had to lead after six innings, the game was as good as over. And I think Shane Green adds to that dynamic. He gives Brian a little bit more versatility out there. Gives him another veteran guy who, you know, good or bad, he's not going to be intimidated by the situation that he's in. But if he's rolling and everybody starts rolling, now all of a sudden you got four or five guys out there that are really trustworthy rather than maybe, you know, three or four sometimes.
Has your curiosity ever gotten the best of you in the 13 years that you've been out to pick up a baseball or hold a baseball that might be used in the game tonight? Because I want to ask you about the progression of baseballs, so let's say from 1990 to present day. Have you picked up a baseball in the last few years, one that was juiced, one that had no seams? Have you had one of those in your hand?
I have, yes.
So what do you, from 1990, fast forward, how many different baseballs do you think you've thrown in your career, and what kind of baseball relative to the one you threw are they throwing today?
You know, man, it's hard to say, but I guess the general answer is there's no question over the course of my career that the ball changed at different times. You know, we went through a juice ball era. There's no question in my mind. We also had maybe some years early where, you know, you'd get some mush balls because, you know, back then a ball wasn't thrown out of play the minute it got put in play. You know, you would actually use a ball for a whole inning sometimes. So, you know, you could get some balls that were beat up a little bit and things like that. So, I mean, the baseball, it definitely has changed over the years. You know, I don't care what Major League Baseball says at times that they haven't done anything to the baseball. They have. I mean, when you pick some of those up, you can feel how hard they are. To me, it was always if you picked up a ball and you couldn't make much of an indent in the leather with your fingernail, then you knew you had a ball that was pretty tightly wound, and I didn't want that. So there's no question in my mind they're playing around with it and you know, all in an effort to get more offense, but hasn't necessarily worked.
What about seams? Because the other thing now, they're going to crack down. They've told owners, we're going to crack down on this grip stuff. You used to pitch with a baseball with seams. These baseballs really don't have seams anymore. They're red things on it, but I'm not sure they're real seams.
Yeah, I mean, that was always a big jump too, right? Because you would come from the minor leagues with baseballs that had huge seams to the major leagues with baseballs that didn't have as many seams. Now the seams are, again, like you said, a little bit more tightly wound, so there's even less to grab onto. I mean, look, all of this stuff is just generated, obviously, to create more offense and do all those things. So who knows? I mean, you know, it's – look, I'm a pitcher, and I'm always going to be crying wolf, right? They're always trying to make things harder on the pitchers. And I think that's part of the case here. Look, at baseball, for as much as people don't want to admit it, I think the more you see things tinkering with the game – I think the more people are concerned about what everybody talks about it being a three outcome game and a game that a lot of people don't enjoy watching. So, you know, I don't know how much tinkering with the baseball and things like that is going to matter so long as the approach to the game and the attitude to the game doesn't change. And by that, I mean, when I played, it mattered if you struck out. When I played, it mattered, you know, if you put the ball in play with two strikes and you choked up and you hit and ran and you do all that stuff. So long as that stuff doesn't matter in today's game, I don't know how much you're gonna see change, because as long as the attitude is, hey, I have two strikes on me, I can still go deep, then I think you're going to see a lot less contact.
Hall of Famer Tom Glavine with us each and every Monday here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. Using your term tinkering, how much tinkering is done now with the baseball as opposed to how much tinkering has always been done with the baseball? Is baseball in general trying to play this game to placate somebody?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, again, I hear guys talk about the balls being different and the balls being juiced. And, you know, look, granted, for the last 2 years now with COVID and the protocols, I haven't been able to get downstairs and see what a baseball looks like. But, you know, if guys are saying that that stuff's going on, then I'm going to believe them. Because, again, I know it went on when I was playing at different times. I knew the baseballs were different. So, you know, again, it's – you get smaller seams, you get less spin, you get, you know, less devastating, so to speak, breaking balls or change-ups or, you know, balls wound tighter, ball go farther. You know, all those things are designed, obviously, to create offense. You know, so, I mean, I think Major League Baseball, to some extent, is trying to explore every avenue they can to try and invigorate the game offensively without having some of these rule changes that we've heard about in some of the minor league leagues. So at least that's a good sign to me. I'd rather be having some of that other stuff going on than some of the rule changes I've been hearing about.
I want to go back a number of years ago. Did you spend the night in Chicago the night you won 300?
I did, yes.
Okay.
Drank the Westin Hotel out of beer.
Just one.
Well, I was going to say, how many people did you have to how many people were in your party that night?
I had about 100 people there, so it wasn't just me drinking all the beer.
So how many tickets do you have to ask the Cubs for, teammates for? How did the ticket thing work that night?
It was hard. I mean, obviously, I had to borrow from players, and obviously, at that stage of the game, the other players were obviously very accommodating. I had to go to the Cubs and get some extra tickets, get, you know, things of that nature. So, I mean, it's tough, especially in a ballpark like that where seats are limited. But, you know, between all the players and the Cubs and everybody being accommodating, I was able to get everybody in there that I wanted in there. So it worked out perfect.
The Boston Irish Glavins, there was a moment. Now, you could say this is horrifying, but how proud were you when somebody had to come tell you you've drank the whole hotel out of every beer?
I got to say, I was pretty proud. I'm not going to lie. I mean, that's something I think we all think about sometimes, that, hey, we drank the hotel out of beer. I actually got to hear the words. So it was pretty cool.
Mr. Glavin, sir, we have a problem. Your party keeps requesting beer. There's none left.
None in Chicago.
Exactly.
Can't find a bottle in Chicago. I don't want to dip into your pocket. Are you willing to say close to how much that night cost you?
I mean, it was, you know, it was four digits or so, maybe five.
But you can't put a price on 300 wins.
No, you can't. Absolutely not. No.
All right. So it's 13 years. Scale of 1 to 10, how much are you enjoying retirement today? Like, if we asked you today, how much is retirement worth?
It's way better now than when it started. You know, when it starts, you're still trying to find your way. You're trying to find what you're doing. You immerse yourselves in your kids, obviously, which was fine. But it's good now. You know, my kids are all kind of grown up. We got one little guy left, so my wife and I kind of can do whatever we want for the most part. So now it's pretty good. You know, I tell people who are getting ready to retire that are afraid of it, it's, trust me, you'll be just fine. It works out pretty well.
All right, Tom Glavin, always an honor and a pleasure. You have more time to speak with us as well. And much like 300 wins, you can't put a price tag on that.
Chuck's a collector.
I mean, what a surprise having you guys today,
yeah.
Man.
Whoa.
We're just the gift that keeps giving.
Do you know Chuck
exactly.
Oliver's a card collector? Did you know that? Chuck Oliver's a card collector?
I did not know that.
Okay, do you own Tom Glavin's?
I have some, yes.
But unfortunately, you're asking me or Tom?
Yeah, I'm asking you, Chuck.
Oh, I do, and I bet I have a few unopened Glavins. They're from the end of the 80s, though, when the overproduced.
It's just
there's no value to it.
Do you have one of your cards, Tommy?
I used to. I don't anymore. I don't have any of the – I don't have really anything since I've retired.
Yeah, there's a dead spot between about 85 and around 2005 or so, and there are so many people. You know, Larry Walker's rookie card's worth about 50 cents. That's just kind of how it turns out.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Tom, I guess he's telling you you're worthless.
No.
My wife told me that sometimes.
They made too many.
Hold on. So cards have come out since you've retired. Do you get any piece of that? Is there any money in that for you?
I mean, for me, sure. But I just don't have any of them physically. I've not kept any of them.
It's about the signature nowadays. Tom Glavin, the Hall of Famer, always an honor and a pleasure, sir.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
You do the same. Tom Glavin with us, brought to you by attorney Ken Nugent. Ken Nugent and the Braves, incidentally, are teaming up to give back to Georgia's first responders. Ken is donating $500 per series to an ambulance driver, firefighter, paramedic, or EMT to nominate a local hero. Go to attorneykennugent.com. A bunch of winners got to go watch the Braves take 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers. They were there for the 6-4 victory on Saturday. Trip Riddle from Columbus, Harold Walls from Atlanta and Duluth, Clinton Hickman from Albany and Valdosta, Justin Flores from Macon, Robert Goff from Albany and Valdosta, and Charles Howe from Albany and Valdosta. Thank you for all that you do with EMS and the fire departments, and hope you enjoyed your time this weekend. People really do win with attorney Ken Nugent.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.